Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to Sudiana Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us. The world is getting to be a smaller place. It seems like every time you turn around, there's something going on that's affecting each one of us. And tonight, we've got the ladies of Sudiana Hill. We're going to talk about a lot of things. One of them is about the opt-out form that we feel like every parent needs to know about. But first, I want to turn this over to Mrs. Barbara Moore, our historian. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And, you know, what a pleasure it is for the ladies to get together this evening and talk about these important matters. As I was listening to David Barton introducing the program and talking about the importance of knowing history, I was thinking about coming up in September is a very important anniversary, and that is September 17th, 1787, our United States Constitution was signed. And so we observe that, we celebrate that, and one of the ways it's celebrated is that throughout the country, the church bells and bells of all kinds begin to ring at 3 o'clock throughout the country. The Daughters of the American Revolution have been faithful to see that that happens. That is the time that the Constitution was signed back in 1787, in the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and there are observances all over the country, and we can take part in that. We can find groups that we can speak to about the Constitution, and encourage the reading of the Constitution. But September 17th is a pivotal date, and we can all be involved in that. As Americans, we need to, because there is not much knowledge and understanding about the Constitution. And that reminds me of Thomas Jefferson and what he said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. So our freedom as a people and as a nation is dependent on transmitting the knowledge and wisdom of upon which this country was established, transmitting that to our children and our grandchildren, our neighbors, our families, our church groups, to everyone that we can. This is what we've got to do. Each one teach one. Donna Garner, our dear friend, who's such an expert in education, always says, each one teach one. But let's take this to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to be a part of this great nation, Lord, that you established. It was established upon your principles, your truths, that the Founding Fathers knew so well. We thank you, Father. It was such a good foundation that they laid for us, Lord, for their posterity. And Father, we have not done a good job of protecting and preserving it. We ask your forgiveness. We ask, Father, that you would grant us the gift of repentance, Lord, to turn back to you and to your truths, your principles, your ways, your thoughts, your Father, to you and all that you would have us to do, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we're alive at this time, that you chose this time for us to live and be a part of this. And Father, that you are equipping us for the job that you called us to. And we thank you for it. We pray, Father, that we would be more effective, Lord, that we would be better communicators of your truth and the great truth of this nation, the principles of freedom. Father, we need to be able to express them clearly. We need to be able to defend what is right and true and noble and just. Oh, God, help us. Equip us, Father. Make us effective communicators of your truth, Lord. That when we speak your truth, Father, that people will listen, Lord, and learn and desire to know more. Oh, God, the hour is late. But, Father, we present ourselves to you a living sacrifice, Father. Do with us as you will, Father, and what will please you, Father. May you be pleased with us, Father. May you be pleased to use us, Father, in this very crucial time. We ask your blessing upon this radio show and the ladies here, your blessing, Father. Refresh them. Refresh us, oh God, with your presence. And Father, give us the words to say, and may we express your heart and your thoughts. We love you so much, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. And listeners, we encourage you to go to our website, www.cityonthehill.tv. We have a good group now that's really working on trying to enlighten America, awaken the parents about what is really an attack upon the family, upon their most precious ones, their children. And, it's time for us to really to unite. The body of Christ must be awakened. So please go to that website. There's many great links. One of them is an organization called Citizens United for Responsible Education, CURE. And the website is NatCure, for National Cure. And go to natcure.org, where you can also link up with other people in your state. So, you know, this is a national movement. It has to be a national movement because, unfortunately, the attack is coming from the leadership. And so we have to be united. We have to awaken a lot of our legislators. And really, we hope that a lot of people will go and homeschool their children. It's just really the hour is late, as Ms. Barbara has said. We have the foremost mathematician in the country, Professor Jim Milgram, who was on the National Validation Committee for the Common Core State Standards that is now on almost every state. And he says that he recommends that children be homeschooled. This is how bad it is. And also Professor Sandra Stotsky, who is the foremost English language art expert, is saying, you know, tell the superintendents when they say, oh, we put so much money into this already, tell them that no, when you're poisoning the children, you stop, and it doesn't matter how expensive your poison supply is. You must stop. This is dangerous. So I think, you know, Ms. Barbara and Ms. Christina Micas is with us, who is a part of CURE. She's one of the heads of CURE, is with us. That's one of the things that I like to tell everybody is, you know, you don't have to listen to me. I don't consider myself an expert. I just listen to the expert. But when the expert speaks, and we actually have a recording of it, and you can play it for your family, you'll probably feel like most people feel when they hear it. They get shocked, and they get scared, and they want to do something. So, but Ms. Christina Micas from California, you are excited because you have got a new find. And I don't know, Ms. Christina, can you share a little bit about it tonight? Do you mind? And we'll go into the other stuff, but I'm excited about this new person that's come to help us. I don't know if you can talk about it, but I sure would love for you to.
Well, just a little bit of it. She's been dealing with children's books for years, and it's quite amazing when you discover what they call children's books. And some of these books are designed for, you know, like older kids, like high school and stuff. This is supposed to be reading for them, when in fact it's written at a fifth grade level. So there's that side of it. But then there's the porn side is beyond comprehension. And when you stop and you think, this is all by design. There are sick people in the background, perverted thinking, God knows how they can think this way, to manufacture all of these different things to create this new society, you know, that they're looking for. And to create the perversion and the oppositional behavior and all of these things from the emotional level. And that clinical psychologist, Diana, said it best one time when she said, you know, it's going to create an Arab Spring mentality. And I remember another gentleman on one of Glenn Beck's shows. We was talking. He's a colonel, and he's a professor at West Point. And he's also, he teaches like the SEAL, Special Ops, all those people how to kill with no feeling and to be able to do it in an instant. Yeah. And the things that our children are using now and being fed through media and technology and you know, this Common Core is all technology, but anyway, through technology, through the video games, through whatever else that they're, you know, movies, music, whatever they're being stuffed with, it's all designed to create this kind of a behavior. And it's going to, he said, it's going to create eight generations of killers. I mean, they can kill without any feeling. They're being sensitized to this. They're being conditioned. This is that operant conditioning. This is that Skinner method. This is what this is. And to think there was actually sick people, but going back to this lady, I got off on my soapbox again. Going back to this lady, she's delved into these books, and not only just the book itself and the content, but then who the publishers are, where the publisher leads to, the references in the back of the book, where they always, the authors list, you know, whatever, acknowledgments, references, whatever, that's, she delves into all of that and finds out where it all leads. And it's so interesting because, you know, I'm like a broken record with UNESCO and all of this coming out of the United Nations and, you know, this one world order and all this stuff. Well, this is exactly where the roads are leading. All roads lead back to UNESCO and their diabolical plan to take over societies, period. And to create generation of nothing but human resources.
Mm. Well, Ms. Christina, you know, that's something that you and Ms. Barbara have in common, because I know I've been hearing it for a long time from Ms. Barbara, and she has been fighting in our local area here trying to wake up people. But I think she feels just like you do,
Miss Barbara, that, you know, it's like all roads lead that way.
Yes. No matter what it is, I'm telling you, no matter what it is, it has an underpinning of this agenda behind it. You know, look at the regionalism. Look at all the stuff that all of a sudden, it's all you're hearing about, is they're going to use the housing department now and urban, you know, development to create regions and to start moving, you know, infiltrating suburbs and moving the urban, you know, areas out and stuff, you know, and force people into inner cities, get less and less suburbs. They're going to force these places to put in these stack and pack communities, low-income housing. All of this stuff is starting. You remember me talking about Stanley Kurtz's book, Spreading the Wealth? That's all about regionalism. I read that back before the 2012 elections. And it's
well,
exactly...
Well, Christina, let me also, you know, also I think one of the things that I really think people need to get is, you know, when all that stuff about eminent domain came out, and I know... Ms. Barbara, you've always warned about that, you know, that's something about the Constitution. You've always heard, was it the Declaration, life, liberty, and it wasn't the pursuit of happiness. What was it that you kept saying was at the very beginning, Ms. Barbara?
Life, liberty, and property.
The right to acquire property, possess property, dispose of property as the owner sees fit. Property is defined by the Founding Fathers. Was not simply material goods, although that is your property as well. But it includes your intellectual property. Mm-hmm. It includes your conscience. Your conscience is your property. And everything that extends from you yourself is your property. And but life, liberty, and property was in the Declaration of Resolve in 1774. Our first Congress, Diana, that we've talked about quite a bit, where they met for the first time and had the three-hour prayer meeting. They met in Carpenter's Hall, which is shaped in the form of a cross. You enter the building, and the entrance has a mosaic with the words, Honor God. And they began that first Congress, First Continental Congress, with that three-hour prayer meeting. They asked the Reverend Jacob Duché to lead them in prayer. He was an Anglican, and he began with the liturgy of the church for that day, which was Psalm 35. That was the reading that was assigned by the church for that day. And it had tremendous significance to the Founding Fathers, and it just broke their hearts, and many wept, and they went into prayer. The Reverend Jacob Duché not only read the liturgy of the prayers of the liturgy, but John Adams tells us that he then broke into extemporaneous prayer, and I think he said even the Quaker. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. You know, even the Quaker that was known to be very resolute and you know, had tears. And so life, liberty, and property was one of the resolves that came out of that Congress. And if you think about it, it is the biblical principle. Two of the Ten Commandments have to do with the right of property. Thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods presupposes that people have property to covet and to steal. And that is, we see in, you know, Genesis through Revelation, we see that God ordains the right of property. And then he also deals with us as his people on what to do with that property, how to give, how to, he deals with our characters and teaches us lessons, and he commands us to give a tenth of our earned income to him. for his purpose and so forth. So remember the words life, liberty, and property. Very important. Thank you for bringing that up, Diana.
Well, that's where we're at, and we're, you know, we had that big fight, Miss Barbara, in our own state here, and I'm sure it's going on everywhere, you know, under some kind of disguise where, you know, what was it, Forever Wild? They are protected. They get money from our state coffers every year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's go steal from the trust fund, but let's not touch this. And as a matter of fact, let's build it, is what I'm getting, Ms. Barbara, which to me, you know, is property that you think, well, is it for the people? Who is it for, Ms. Barbara? I don't think the people get to use it.
No, they don't. I think maybe a couple of days a year. You know, Diana, what you're talking about here in Alabama with the Forever Wild group and this public-private partnership, they call it, it's the public providing the funds and the private deciding what to do with it and how to use it and so forth. And the public doesn't have any say with what happens to our hard-earned money. But also here in Alabama, and Christina, I think you'll like this very much. Article 1, Section 35 of our Alabama Constitution states that the sole and only legitimate object of government is to protect the citizen in his right to, in his enjoyment to life, liberty, and property. And when the government assumes any other function, it is usurpation and oppression. And repeating the words of the Declaration of Resolve back from 1774, life, liberty, and property.
Wow, that's in your Alabama Constitution?
It is, Article 1, Section 35. And
so there again, we know they're usurping your not only the American Constitution, but the Alabama Constitution, and because they're pushing through sustainability, regionalism, all that stuff in Alabama, aren't they?
That's right. They are. They are. And they're doing it with the cities.
They're doing it through the planning and zoning. The planning and zoning.
Yeah.
I worked with it, Barbara, for years here. The planners. And because the planners, again, all roads lead back to the UN. ICLEI is the overseer. The APA, American Planning Association, is the next level. They have all the planners. They train them to this agenda, the sustainability agenda. Then they come into the cities. They're the consultants that write the general plans, whatever your city calls them. And the councils then vote on it, and here it comes into the city. They have no idea what's in these plans. I got into them, and I started pulling them apart, and I had meetings with the planning department and everything because I had a council people on my side. And so, anyway, I got into the planning department, and I got – so I'm sitting there, you know, showing them the facts and the truth and the this and the that, and the consultant from the American Planning Association is sitting right there who wrote the plan with all the sustainability in it. And by the time we were all done, we got it all pulled out. So it's just a matter of, again, educating people, because half of these town or city council people or whatever in your town they call them don't have a clue what this stuff even is. And what it's about, sustainability. They think, oh, isn't that nice? They don't know what the terminology is. They don't even know there's an agenda.
Well, that's just like Common Core, though, Miss Christina, isn't it? I mean, they really have their notebook planner. I mean, I just think they've got it so perfected, Miss Christina, Miss Barbara, and I know I'm sounding facetious, but they do. I mean, we look at Obamacare and now Obamacore. And then with what you're talking about, the sustainability movement, you know, it's like, again, they're using associations, national governors association, you know, chief counsel, schools, state school officers, whatever. You know, they're using these associations to give them stature when all they're doing is stealing from us, stealing. And in this case, they're stealing the minds of our children.
Oh, but they don't care. See, you've got to understand, there's this diabolical agenda. They're into eugenics. They're into all of these sick things. Do you think they care about the children? Children are going to be human resources. This is the sad reality of this.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And it'll be that way as long as parents choose to look the other way. And so I'm hoping this is a time, and we have these conversations because we want to wake up. It's going to have to be you, parent, that's going to have to stand in the gap for your child. It won't be the government, unfortunately, because now the enemy has come in there. We're hoping for miracles, but, you know, it's going to take you. So one of the things I wanted to mention, too, tonight, Ms. Christina, is I wanted to go over a little bit again over the opt-out form.
Okay.
I know that a lot of people have been, thank goodness, downloading that. And I just, you know, this is an idea that came from Charlotte Iserby.
Mm-hmm.
She reminded, let's see, you could probably talk about Charlotte Iserby better than I can. Would you mind talking a little bit about her? And we need to promote her website and book. So if you don't mind, Ms. Christine.
No, Charlotte Iserby was a deputy in the Department of Education in the 1980s in the Reagan administration. And she wound up running across several things that were quite alarming. And anyway, she wound up exposing this Project BEST and Better Education, something or other, blah, blah. You know how these titles, these things are. But anyway, so she wound up, of course, losing her job as if she didn't know that that was going to happen. But she wound up writing a book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, and that's her website, deliberatedumbingdownofamerica.com. And it's an incredible compilation of information and facts and what she found and the things that she's discovered. And, you know, all roads lead to, we talk about it all the time, you know, the we talk about Pavlov, Skinner. We talk about, you know, the operant conditioning, the outcome-based education, mastery learning. All of these different things are things that have been uncovered as to this experiment that they've been doing through UNESCO. This started when UNESCO first started. These people are, you know, we've talked about being eugenicists and all this kind of stuff. They're really wacky people. So anyway, this whole agenda has been in place in 1913. We talked about Carnegie and Rockefeller and how they decided to use education to control societies. And so steadily, 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 they've been going forth. And Charlotte is just like, she's like a walking encyclopedia of all this information. An incredible, incredible woman. People out there, if you get a chance, go on to YouTube and Google or search Charlotte Iserby and listen to some of her videos.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I've heard them, and I'm thinking, this woman taught me so much in just, I think it wasn't even an hour of a conversation. And, I mean, I'm just so dumbfounded because the enemy wants her voice diminished. You know, mm-hmm. She should be all over plastered. If the news media really cared about the children, about the people of this country, that woman should have been heard all along for a long, long time now. We wouldn't be having this problem. And Ms. Barbara, I think that's what we're going up against. It's unfortunately there is a machinery which involves mainstream media to disenfranchise, to entertain and distract and do whatever it takes so that the American people does not hear the truth. And I know it's heartbreaking to you when you see things about the military, among other things, and now it's about the children. But I want to get your thoughts, Ms. Barbara. What do you think about the opt-out form? How do you think parents need to use that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
Ms. Barbara, go ahead.
The more that we can inform parents and grandparents about this opt-out form, when they see it, they'll begin to understand that they're going to need it. You know, the things that are on the opt-out form, Diana, if you would kind of kind of go over a little bit what is on there that when parents and grandparents see this, they're going to think, oh, my goodness, are my children going to be subjected to this? You mean I have to opt them out of this? That if I don't opt them out, this is what they're going to get in Common Core, in the Common Core system? Will you go over a couple of those things?
Okay, I will. That's a good idea. Somebody did ask me that. I haven't started doing that again. Okay. The idea came from Ms. Charlotte Iserby because she says, really, it was this protection that helped them the last time. And so we looked into it, and thank God for Colonel John Eisner with the Foundation for Moral Law. This form is now available for anybody and everybody interested in, and you know, another layer of protection. Now, what it supposedly does, if it's, of course, a lot of these rules, you know, are overlooked, unfortunately, lost, but I'll read to you what it says. It says the Protection of People's Rights Amendment requires school districts to notify and obtain consent or allow parents / guardians to opt child out of participating in certain school activities. These activities include a student survey, analysis, or evaluations that concern one or more of the following 8 areas. And the areas that they listed are political affiliations or beliefs of the student or student's parent. 2, mental or psychological problem of the student or student's family. 3, sex behavior or attitudes. 4, illegal, antisocial, self-incriminating or demeaning behavior. 5, critical appraisals of others with whom respondents have close family relationships. 6, legally recognized privileged relationships, such as with lawyers, doctors, or ministers. 7, religious practices, affiliations, or beliefs of the student or parent. 8, income other than is required by law to determine program eligibility. And it says that really the consent should be given. I mean, these include the right to consent before students are required to submit to a survey that concerns one of these things. So consent, this is the right for the parent to consent. Really, this is regarding the conduct of our Department of Ed. This is in our Department of Education website, so you can look at it yourself. But we have it under our blog title, cityonahill.tv. The blogs are on the left side. You just scroll down. It's got Common Core opt-out form, Protection of People Rights Amendment. But so, you know, right there it says, okay, you know, consent before students are required to submit. That's the right for the parent to consent. And then it's got also the right to receive notice and an opportunity to opt a student out of. So that is really good. And again, you know, Ms. Charlotte Iserby, you know, was really, I think from what I understood from one of her emails, she was really the driving force behind this amendment. And, you know, she knew the problems that was coming in, and thank God that she has done this. It was useful. I did see a case back in 1999 where I think it was Phyllis Schlafly had written an article about one occasion where a parent did win, but that was 1999. So that was a ways ago. Unfortunately, with the people that we have at the helm, one of the things we're finding is they're overlooking the laws. You know, that's why there's all these executive orders, you know, let's just do things our way. So, but what we'd like for parents to do, I think this raises awareness. And, you know, you may have a principal that has integrity and honor and does not want a lawsuit. And if you have a lot of your parents doing the same thing, which is giving this to them and expecting them to, you know, watch out,
you know, because you have told them to pretty much, you know, be careful. These are the areas you're concerned about. So they've been given notice by you as required by law. I think it can be very useful in the fight because not every principal is willing to go to court. Not every principal is willing to be vilified. And exactly, I think that's part of what will happen if they ignore this. And I'm sure they're going to get pressure from their heads, probably the state superintendent. But then, you know, it gives the parents a chance to look at really who the main culprit is. Right, Ms. Barbara?
Well, that's right. Now, how do you suggest, and how does Charlotte Isby suggest that this form is used, is it to be used at the beginning of the year before anything happens, just when you're filling out the forms, the regular school forms that parents have to fill out so many of at the beginning of the year and turn it in with those forms? Or what is the process that a parent would use this? How would they use it? At the beginning?
Okay, what now? Yeah, the form
what?
Is very simple. It's really just a sign, a place where the parent, you know, signs it, puts their name, puts the child's name, and they're signing it. And they really, you know, you know, we've gotten so used through the years, Ms. Barbara, to signing blank opt-in, kind of, you know, on our student handbook.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing those things, you know, where you just pretty much sign and allow them to do whatever. But, you know, those days of just trusting the education system are long gone, unfortunately. So we're turning the tables around. Just as we, you know, signed a general form, we are signing this form, and it leaves it up to them to find out what it is they need to do or not do. But what Charlotte Isby had told me is really, you know, it leaves the school, if they go against it, then they're in violation. So you do want to do it at the first of the year. It's almost like a blanket statement, because really what the law did is it gave protection to the parents. To me, it's just really horrendous that what Congress had done is pretty much said these are the things that you don't touch. Right, Ms. Barbara? It makes sense. You don't go into the religious affiliation of the family. I mean, it's common sense. So Congress agreed to that. And I wanted those rights protected, but here are these people. What do they do? They go exactly after what was protected.
Uh-huh.
So it's a blatant disregard. So they leave themselves to trouble. They really are opening themselves, I think, to a Pandora's box, because once parents get wind of this, you know, I won't guarantee that every principal is going to heed this, but then every principal that ignores also better be aware that it could have repercussions for them too. So it's a double-edged sword. But I think it needs to be done.
It's going to have repercussions probably on both sides, you know, because there's a lot of things that they can retaliate with, and so, you know, but still in all, you got to give it a go. And try, because, you know, she even said that when she did it, it was a different time. You know, like you just said, Diana, we're in a different time. So we're not sure, you know, but you've got to try. You've got to make a statement. If nothing else, they'll make a statement.
And I think it will raise the ire of that parent, you know. If the case the school goes against that, then that parent, you know, either has the option of doing something about it or getting their child out of school. And to me, you know, the school really has to be careful, because they stay in business because of the number of children that's attending their school.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see, I think, something that's going to have repercussions in more ways than one.
One of the things that, remember, they were saying that they're going to penalize the student and the school if these people opt out. So again, it's you know, threats, it's this is what they usually do. But, in you know, for the sake of your child, you have to opt out of the testing. You have to opt out of these, you know, sex standards. You have to opt out of all of these different things, the data mining. You must opt your child out. That's all. I mean, that's the main goal here. You know, if they don't, like Diana said, not all people are going to do it. And not all schools are going to accept it. But if enough parents do it, it makes enough of a statement that, you know, you're making a voice and you start pushing back. And that's what it's going to take. But parents, you got to stand up.
And I think, too, go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, when you're looking at these forms, you know, we have to let the parents know that any information on any of these issues will follow their child all the way through their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these questions that are addressed, they will be there for others to see, you know, forever. So, you know, I don't think parents know that, and the opt-out form is, you know, a good way for them to become more aware of all the information that's going to be gotten on their children, but also what's going to be done with it. We know that in the Common Core system, that corporations are going to have access to it. The government will have access to all this. And then, you know, to do with it what they will. So, you know, the opt-out form is a good way of calling attention to that, too, I think.
Yeah, I think so, Ms. Barbara. It's really, you know, it was prepared for us a long time ago, and it was useful a long time ago. It reminds me, Ms. Barbara, of what David Barton has said at the beginning. You know, you really have to study your history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing with our Constitution. You really have to study the Constitution. It's there as a protection. If we never bother to study it, then, you know, we cut off our nose, you know, because there could be help right there. I mean, that is just a wonderful thing that Ms. Charlotte has really done many years ago, and it's been reinforced. I think No Child Left Behind, again, put forth on this again. I think it was used as a reminder again in No Child Left Behind. So it is still on the books. And I think Ms. Charlotte said, well, you know, this is where you come against the school for violations, should they dare to do that, which, you know, probably a lot of them will do, because the assessments, Ms. Barbara, I'm thinking, and Ms. Christina, a lot of those assessments are pretty much, we're already hearing the data mining. I mean, the religious beliefs, that, you know, the affiliations, political affiliations, you know. I mean, it's really already there.
Yeah. No, it's already happening right now. It will be under full implementation 2015. That's what their goal is. You know, the 2014-15 school year. That's their mission. But it's going so fast. And, I mean, it is so underway. It is already so underway what is going on in these schools. I'm telling you, what I was hearing was incredible. It's just there's so much that are going on in the schools now.
Well, Ms. Christina, this is why it's so important, I think. You know, I thank God for the opportunity to have a radio show where people can listen and get informed, because we're not just physical beings, we're spiritual beings, and we know that the Father's intent really is that this is a nation that followed the ways of God. That's why they came here. And Ms. Barbara, I love the way you talk about that. You know, if you don't mind, just share a little bit, because I think people need to be reminded of this. When the founding fathers, when those who came to this country and they left England and they went through unknown waters, the way you told me that just, you know, made me realize the gravity of their situation, their sacrifice, and really, I think from what you've shared, it was for their children.
Well, it was. It was indeed. Of course, you're referring, first of all, to the pilgrims who had experienced religious persecution in England under King James. And so they spent some time in Holland, but their children were being corrupted there, they felt. And so, you know, they really felt like God was leading them to go into the wilderness, so to speak. It really was a savage wilderness of the New World and into unknown territory. But I love what they said. They put it in writing why they came. And the very first reason that they gave three reasons. The very first one was for the glory of God. You know, in raising their children to know him, to love him, to serve him, would bring him glory. You know, it was for his honor and it was for his glory that they raised their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord for his blessing. Okay, so the very first reason they said they came was for the glory of God. And the second reason was soul winning. They said they came for the advancement of the Christian faith. Well, there was nobody but the Indians. They came to evangelize the Indians, the Native Americans here. And, so the glory of God and soul winning. And then lastly, they said they came for the honor of their king and country, that they would show him honor and, you know, because he was their king, and even though he treated them badly, terribly badly, he said he would make them conform to his church, or he would harry them out of England, which he did. So, but anyway, the reason that the pilgrims wrote all this down was because they were blown off course, and they had intended to land under the Virginia authority, but were blown off course, and so they had no governing authority. Therefore, write down that they were going to write and constitute and construct good laws for the good of the colony, and they promised due submission to those laws. They had to create their own government, because where they were blown off course, there was no government, and they knew that there would be chaos because of the sin nature of man, there had to be government. And so they had to form their own government at that time. So, That's the beginning of
Well, Ms. Barbara.
Yes.
While we're at it, Ms. Barbara, I think you touched on something that most people do not know because they're not taught, but you have taught me, thank God, is that communism has been tried before. If you don't mind, if you'll go into that a little bit.
They tried it. And think about this, Diana. These people, these separatists, their character was of the highest noble standards, to love God and to love their neighbors and so forth. I mean, if anyone could have made it work, it would have been them, but they couldn't. They had a common store system for a while, where everyone put whatever they grew into the common store, and everyone was given an equal distribution regardless of how much or how little they worked, and that encouraged slothfulness and. It encouraged people not to, if everybody was going to get the same amount and for doing little or much, well, they had a tendency, you know, to do little. That's our sin nature. That's, you know, selfishness. And so, yeah, they tried it, but then, you know, it obviously did not work, and so they abandoned that, and they began to have private ownership of property, and yes, still contribute to the common store, but above a certain amount, they were producing for their own family and the surplus, and they could trade, they could do whatever. And by the way, I think this is so commendable. They were given a loan to come to this country. They took out a loan, and they were able to pay that loan back in 7 years through their hard work and their efforts. Paid it back completely, and then they were debt free after that. So it was a remarkable. It was just a remarkable success after they abandoned the communist, the common store system, you know.
Right. Wow. God's ways are the best ways. And, again, we go back to God. And I think, Ms. Christina, you have got, you know, your dear friend, excuse me, Deb coming on Wednesday. So, you'll join us back on Wednesday with Deb. But these are the times we live in. It is so important to really to study the ways of God. And so we get to look and talk about the apple of God's eye, Zev Perot. And if you don't mind, just share with the listeners what we're going to hear, a little bit of what we're going to hear come Wednesday.
Well, hopefully Zev will share. Zev is a Messianic Jew in Israel. Just an incredible man. He comes from a rabbinic family, and he was himself a rabbi, but now he's turned to the Lord. And God has given him a tremendous ministry over there in Israel. So he's going to be joining us on Wednesday and talk about some of his latest outreaches. He's having some incredible outreaches, and the Spirit is just working in such a mighty way, you know, to bring about salvation in Israel. Because there are so many, and he ministers to so many rabbis. It's just amazing what God is doing. So we'll hear a lot about that on Wednesday. That's kind of exciting.
That is exciting. Well, we know we've got an exciting week. We've got Alice Linehan's going to be here tomorrow night, and you know we've got to hold Texas up in prayer and come alongside them because they're under attack.
Yes,
and I don't know what happened today. I have not gotten, I have not really thought about it until just now, but we need an update on what went on in their court today with C-Scope that supposedly was kicked out, trying to rear its ugly head. But so we're going to hear from Alice about that. And on Thursday, we're going to hear from a good friend, Susan Zawicki, who is a mental health therapist, but she's also endeavoring into something else. This woman is like the Renaissance. If there's a Renaissance man, she is a Renaissance woman.
That's
she is also going to be a lawyer. So, but
yeah.
She's going to tell us about the dangers of really what we're doing to the children as sexualization of our culture and how dangerous that is for all of us. So she's going to be on. And I really think that is so timely, you know, with what you've been sharing about the books too, Ms. Christina. It is so timely.
Really?
And,
this is something, Diana, that is just so, I mean, talk about affecting the children, what this is doing to them and their minds and how it's twisting them and turning them away from anything godly. It's mind-boggling, but that's, again, to change, you know, and alter the minds, indoctrination. That's what it is, and we've got to stop it. So, yeah, that's going to be real interesting Thursday.
It is, and it's timely.
Yes, honey?
Is that referring to the textbooks or the books in the library or what?
Libraries. And suggested books. You know, I talk a lot about the Planned Parenthood things, that are books that are, you know, sanctioned by Planned Parenthood and all of that, and what Planned Parenthood's connection is to all of this and how they connect in. Well, a lot of these, again, are, you know, sanctioned by Planned Parenthood, endorsed by Planned Parenthood, you know, come through that whole system. And where does that come through? That filters through the Tides Foundation. So there's just so much. These are all the same players over and over and over in this agenda of theirs. And so, you know, the main thing is we've got to do what we can to protect the children, and that's our job. And it is to protect them in a very, very adverse way. It's going to literally steal the minds and hearts of our children.
And we have to stand up. We have to talk. And as my pastor said this weekend, this past Sunday, he says, you know, if you really don't say anything, in a way, you're really saying go ahead, you know.
Anna, isn't it like that when nobody said anything when it was happening to the Jews? It was like saying go ahead. And that's what we're doing to our go ahead and slaughter millions of our children.
We can't do that, and hopefully, you know, you who have heard it, please share the opt-out form. We also, you know, God has given us information, so we put it on the flyer. And so we have a flyer. We have good information out there for you to really share with your friends, your family, your neighbors. And the flyer is good. I really like it because it starts off with something that Ms. Charlotte Iserby said needs to go everywhere. For you, the teacher that's listening, or the principal, or the board member that's listening, these are the words from Mr. Lou Gerstner, who really is the one that was head of the ACHIEVE, that made a suggestion to our dear President Obama. And his suggestion was, if I can pull it up, which I hope I can at some point, is that he get rid of the 16,000 school districts. So, you know, and that's a link to the Wall Street Journal interview that he did. But this is the man that, you know, is one of the planners, major planners, ball players of Common Core Standards. And everything he said has practically come true. He wanted to develop 70 districts, 70 regional. And I believe, Ms. Christina, that's almost complete, isn't it?
Yeah, 70 regional districts. And here we go to regionalism, sustainability, UNESCO. I mean, that's what I keep saying, all roads lead back. This is exactly what's happening, only on the education level.
Oh, and then we have a link to a chart, too, as I was telling you, Ms. Christina, I'm sorry, that that really shows, you know, it goes back to this global governance group. In 2014 or 2015, everything is going to be solidified and united under this global governance group called McKinsey, which ain't it odd, but it's the first place that Lou Gerstner worked for. So here we go again. Oh, my goodness.
It's all the same players over and over. It's all the same people. There's all the same sick, you know, tentacles of connections. I don't care where you go. You'll find these people. You'll find the same players. I don't care if it's Arne Duncan, David Coleman, Kevin Jennings. You know, you name it. And then you see the incoming, Arne Duncan's incoming chief of staff, somebody or other. She is, she's coming from Charter Management Systems. So this regionalism of getting rid of the school districts and having 70 regionals, those are going to be charter regions. Then you've got her as the Miss Expert there on charter, you know, management. So they'll be managed by regions. I mean, this whole thing is just crazy the way they've got this perfect utopia thing of theirs set up to control everything. But that's where we're headed. It's communism.
And for those that are saying, you know, oh, that can't be going to happen in our school. You know, it's sad to say, but the statistics prove most everybody thinks the same way as you. But unfortunately, it is happening in your school. So let's wake up. Let's not be asleep for the children's sake. you know, you and me are adults. We can take a lot of things, but those little children don't need to be sitting there alone in their minds with nobody to help them. You, the parent, the grandparent, the least we can do is stand in the gap for these precious ones. So I hope that you will go to our website, www.cityonhill.tv, and please look up the flyer, make copies, give it to your church. My church is going to let us, you know, it's legal for you to do that. Give copies of this to your church. And then there's that opt-out form. Give it to the parents. It is legal for you to share that in churches too. So please do that and make a difference. Don't be quiet, because unfortunately it may have eternal implications for a loved one, and you certainly don't want it. Don't want that. Forever is a long time. With that in mind, Ms. Christina, would you close us in prayer?
Sure. Oh, Lord, we just come before you, and we just thank you so much for the blessing of this evening to be able to come together, my sister Diana and my sister Barbara and myself, to share with the people that are listening, Lord, all the words that you would have them to hear. Lord, we know this isn't an easy subject to talk about. It's not an easy subject to listen to. It's not easy to have to face what is happening in our nation and the designs that they have for our children. But, Lord, we just know that you want us to do what we're doing. You know, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are asking us to step up and speak up and stand in the gap for the children, because they cannot speak for themselves, Lord. And we must be the ones that stand and push back against this darkness that is threatening them. Lord, we understand that there is so much evil that is being thrust on them right now. And, Lord, we just thank you that you'll help us to get this word out, that, Lord, these people will utilize this opt-out form. Lord, use the tools available that we have right now until provisions can be made for parents to get their children out of public school systems. Lord, we know that's what you want. We know you do not want any of these children to perish in the public school systems. So, Lord, we just thank you for your hand of blessing upon all that we are doing, for your honor and glory, and for your innocent, Lord. You said to protect your innocent, and that's what we're doing, Lord. With your guidance and the guidance of the Spirit, Lord, we just ask you that you continually guide our steps and let us not stray to the right or the left, Lord, but keep our eyes on you and what the goal that you have for us to accomplish, which is ultimately, Lord, just to get the children out of the darkness of government schools and get them into proper schooling, back to a godly consciousness, back to even knowing who you are, Lord. They don't even know who you are anymore. And once, if they do, Lord, once they go into the system and they come out, 88% of them don't know you anymore. So, Lord, we just need to reach them. And we know, Lord, that you're helping us. We know you're going before us with a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide our steps into all that we're doing. Lord, we just thank you for all those that are listening, Lord, that it will minister. These words will minister them, not in fear, but in righteous anger, Lord, to cause them to come up off the sofas and come out of the kitchen and stop, you know, running to hockey and to this and to that, Lord, and pay attention to what's really going on and what's really important and what's really happening to their children. And they will start standing in the gap as well. So, Lord, we just thank you, too, as we go forward to lift up these pastors and these churches and leaders to you, Lord, that they will understand what is going on and step out with boldness and courage, for Lord, that is so lacking in our society today. The churches have gone to sleep, and Lord, they need to wake up. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the blessing of this evening. We pray that the information that we put out was beneficial and ministered to so many. And Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for Diana, for Barbara, for City on the Hill, and for the blessing of this radio show to get out your message, Lord, to all, with those for ears to hear. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory in your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And I think, Ms. Barbara, Ms. Christina, I think as an added thing, wouldn't it be a good thing to really have a copy of that form? Maybe get it initialed by whoever receives it in the office, and, you know, ask them to make a copy of it or initial a copy that you bring with you, because, you know, it's just a little added insurance, you know,
Great idea, because you know what? They could say, well, we never got those. Well, yes, you initialed it. So, yes.
All right, yes, you could take a picture. Hey, I'm handing it to you. Here's a picture. Oh, goodness gracious.
Nothing like an initial.
Great idea. Well, we do what we need to do, so let's do that. Let's be proactive. And, Ms. Christina, would you mind sharing a website for... You know, Miss Barbara had a chance to homeschool, and she so loved it, and she's so grateful, and we know that that's something that many parents need to take advantage of. Would you mind sharing the website for where they can get information about homeschooling?
Right now, the best website that I know of is freedomcoalition.com or .org.
Okay.
Right, one or the other, okay. And it's Freedom Coalition. Tina Hollenbeck is the head, and she does tremendous screening of all material to make sure it is not in any way Common Core aligned. So, and she's got a wealth of information on homeschooling, and there is also some homeschooling associations and leagues out there, but you've got to make sure that the material that they're using is not aligned with Common Core.
Oh, and if you don't mind mentioning about the Master's Exchange, and if there's somebody who's a pastor listening or somebody involved with the church,
the Master Educators Exchange, Professor White, is doing webinar classes. MasterEducatorsExchange.com or .org. Again, check both, and he's doing online webinars. For two purposes. One, to, you know, for educational, I think it's first through eighth, and then for curriculum and things, but also a refresher for parents so that they can feel confident to homeschool. So it's a course for parents to get back into the groove so they feel confident when they want to homeschool their children themselves. So it's really beneficial, and if, you know, for everybody, and teachers that want to come out of the system and want to, you know, kind of get reoriented back into a more private situation, like be at a Christian school or, you know, a homeschooling co-op, maybe they want to create a co-op, whatever, it helps them to readjust to out of the public school system and back into real teaching. Sad to say.
And I think I think he's having conferences this week, so they need to go to Master Educators Exchange, because I think it's this week. I mean, they're just pretty much letting people come on for free, practically. I saw the rate, it was nothing. So.
I think it's $10, so this will be the last time I see $10. So, everybody.
I'm going to sign up, so I'm going to try to go to that website.
There's one tomorrow night, and there's one Thursday night.
Okay, I'm gonna sign up, because I certainly want to listen to that. So, gosh, you know, listeners, please take advantage of that. Go to MastersEducatorsExchange.com. And Professor White will be there to help us. And Ms. Barbara, in closing, I'm going to let you close. Would you mind giving some words to those teachers who may have heard this? We don't see them as the enemy. They're not the enemy, but they do need help and support. So if you don't mind giving some encouraging words, Ms. Barbara.
Well, that's right, Diana. We have the utmost respect and appreciation for teachers. You know, those who've gone into the teaching profession generally have a love of children and a love of their subject that they're teaching. And they're amazing in what they do. So now we have this is to help teachers. This is to help teachers are parents too, you know, but also it's to help the teachers, because the Common Core system will eventually eliminate the teachers. They go from teaching to facilitating to
technical
whatever.
Technical.
Yeah,
system.
Technical. Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, we do love the teachers. And then the other thing I want to say is that go to our website, cityonahill.tv. I mean, it is really filled. It's a treasure trove. Diana, I appreciate the time and the effort that you put into that website. It's got everything you need. You can direct people to this website, www.cityonahill.tv, and find everything you need to become informed about this. And there are many other websites as well, but this gets you started in a really good way. So I'm grateful that Diana has put all that together. So check it out, share it, become informed, inspired, and involved.
Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, listeners, we are through with another night of City on a Hill. Please join us tomorrow night and the rest of this week, because we've got so much information that really you need to know. You know, it's a hard task, and we need you. So may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.